first chapter, page 966 in your Scofield Reference Bible, Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. I'll be reading these verses responsively, just these four verses. Page 966. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. And let's pray. And Father, give us, I pray, of thy Spirit. May we feel the intensity of that work which thou wouldst do here. May we relate to it properly so that we'll go from this place equipped to do thy will. Bless our preacher very specially. Give him energy of strength, body, of mind, of spirit to convey to us that which you've given him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, one of those outfits is faded. I'm not sure which one. Ah, that was a funny one, wasn't it?
Oh, good.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah. I want to read a couple of verses you read a while ago again. Let you see it. Chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice the picture there. Four horns. And the word horn there means exactly what you think of as being a horn. A horn in the Bible oftentimes was a symbol of a Gentile king or a king. That may be a secondary meaning here. But I don't think it's the first meaning. So we have four horns here. He said, Who are these horns? He said, These horns are which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. I think basically here it's talking about kingdoms, but we'll just say kings for the sake of the message. And in verse number 20, And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? Now you got the picture? Here are four horns, and these four horns are coming to scatter the people of God. And then four carpenters come. Verse 21, Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah. See that no man did lift up his head. But these, that's the four carpenters, These are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. What he's saying is this. There are four horns here, and these horns represent the four kingdoms, or the four kings. And by the way, these four kingdoms came from the north, the east, the south, the west, on every side of the nation Israel, to scatter Israel. And following this, there came four carpenters. And these carpenters came, and the Bible says they came to fray these horns. Actually, They came to blunt the sharpness of the horns so they would not pierce Israel with as much pain or punishment as they would have done had these carpenters not come. So here are four horns coming upon God's people, and these four carpenters come, and they chisel off these horns so that the blow and the blunt and the hurt will not be as bad as they would have been. My title this morning is as strange as my title tonight. I speak this morning on the subject, Grandpa's Paddle. Grandpa's Paddle. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to love our great God even more because we've come as we look into this passage and see how it reminds us of Grandpa's Paddle. Bless our message this morning to the hearts of our people, and be it to them what they need today. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, for my birthday or Christmas, I forgot which one it was, I received a special gift from our daughter, Linda. It was a Grandpa's Paddle. How many have ever seen a Grandpa's Paddle? Oh, a few of you have seen a Grandpa's Paddle. What a Grandpa's Paddle is this. It is a regular paddle, and you take a little pillow, and you slide that paddle up into the pillow. So when you spank, you do spank the child, because every child needs spanking. But actually, what happens, Grandpa spanks his grandchild, the blow is softened by the pillow. And the little sign on the pillow said, Grandpa's Paddle. It's a pillow around an ordinary paddle. Now, that's a little bit like the story this morning in our text. Israel, God's people, were about to be scattered. They had sinned. And God had allowed four heathen nations, under four heathen kings, to punish his people. Now, these kings came upon Israel from all four sides. I don't have time to tell you what kingdoms they were, but a kingdom came from the south against Israel. A kingdom came from sort of the south west against Israel. A kingdom came from the east against Israel. A kingdom came from the north against Israel. And God allowed it to allow these kings and kingdoms to come upon his people because his people had sinned. And it came from all sides. Now, God saw these heathen kings and kingdoms coming against his people. Are you listening to me this morning? God saw the heathen kings and kingdoms coming against his people. And God again allowed them to come because God was allowing the heathen kings to be used as it were, a paddle with which to paddle or chasten his own dear people. But God saw them coming, and God saw the mighty army, and God used a horn as a symbol of these armies that were coming. And these horns, very sharp instruments, were going to come and symbolically represented the mighty power of the four kingdoms coming on Israel. And so God sent four carpenters, a carpenter to take the horn from the south and take that sharp point and, you might say, chisel that sharp point off like that to make it blunt. And God sent a second carpenter to chisel the second horn to make it blunt. And God sent the third carpenter to chisel the third horn and make it blunt. And God sent the fourth carpenter to chisel the fourth horn to make it blunt. So, when the punishment came on God's people, it would hurt. But it wouldn't hurt as much as it would have hurt without God blunting the instruments with which the heathen nations, kingdoms, and kings were going to punish God's people. Now, God did not stop them. God knew his people needed punishing. So God did not stop them. God simply made Grandpa's horns out of these horns. God said, my people need to be punished. And my people must be punished. It's for their good. But I am not going to let, hear me now, I'm not going to let more harm come to my people than my people can stand. And so God said, symbolically, I'll send these carpenters and let these carpenters blunt so it will hurt, it will bruise, but it will not destroy my people. Hurt within their ability to bear. I say it again. God only allowed them to be hurt within their ability to bear. You ought not to ever forget 1 Corinthians 10:31. The Bible says, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Memorize that. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Memorize that. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Don't forget that. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And he goes on to say, and will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, I am as much one of God's children as the Israelites were. We are as much God's people as they were hundreds and thousands of years ago. God will not let His own children suffer above their ability to bear. You say, I just can't face tomorrow. Oh, yes, you can face tomorrow. That we may be able to bear it. Oh, you say, preacher, I've gone as far as I can go. No, you haven't gone as far as you can go. That ye may be able to bear it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Again, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Memorize it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't forget it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now you listen to me. God loves His people. We've got people these days running down the country hollering, screaming, "Our God is a consuming fire! Our God is a consuming fire!" But not only His own people. God loves His own people. If you're a child of God, if your name is written in heaven, God will not give you more to bear than you can bear. And God will not give you more to take than you can take. God is going to punish you, but even God's punishment comes from a heart of love, because God wants you to be corrected. Because God knows that corrected, you can live a better life for Him. So, God comes to Israel, and He says, my people have sinned, and my people must be punished. And so He allows these four mighty armies to come from the north, the east, the south, and the west, and they converge upon Israel like four sharp horns coming on one little animal. And God says, hey, carpenter, go dull that horn. Carpenter, you go dull that horn. Carpenter, you go dull that horn. Carpenter, you go dull that horn. Why? Because God said, these are my people. And don't you ever forget that. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. A college student said to me this past week, I've taken all I can take. You're lying. You have not taken all you can take. God will not put on you more than you can take. A couple said to me, we can't go any further. Oh, yes, you can go farther. Keep on going. Keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground. I'm simply saying, you keep on going. You can go on, and you can stand it, and you can take it. Why? Because you're God's child. And God loves you, and God dulls every sharp instrument the devil has. He may allow the devil to come at you, but God dulls that instrument. Let me illustrate. Years ago, Becky, our first child, I guess Becky had gotten up 4 or 5 years old. She had done something real bad. Real, real bad. And I had to spank her. Well, I'll never forget it. I said, Becky, go to your room. And she went to her room. And Mrs. Hiles said, now, don't you be too hard on her. And I said, she's going to get it. Well, now, not too hard. I said, she deserves it. She's got to be taught. We can't pussyfoot. And if we're going to rear a child turn out right, we're going to have to make her know it's your punishment comes for doing wrong. Well, don't be too hard on her, Daddy. I went to Becky's room. I said, you bend over here. I said, now you pull your little dress up. She pulled a little dress up. And boy, I said, I can't do this. But I can't let Miss Hiles know I'm not doing it. I'll die before I'll give in. And I said, and I can't let Becky know I'm not doing it. I walked over and I got a little book about that thick. And I put it on top of Becky's little posterior. And I hit that book. I hit it. Whack! Miss Howell said, not so hard. Whack! Whack! It ain't hurt, Becky, but it hurts the book more. And oh, my soul, I got the cold shoulder for quite a while. For everybody in the house, I mean, everybody. But, you see, God's that way. God says, I've got to punish you. Come out of me. And you come to God, and God looks at you and says, you're my child, and I don't want to hurt you, but I've got to hurt you. And God allows some heathen force to come, but bless God, no heathen force can come without God's permission. None. I mean, God has a governor on every force in the universe, and God will not allow that to come upon you, which is not for your own good. When God saw His people, He saw their sins all these years. God looked down and said, I've got to punish them. And these four heathen kings and kingdoms said, we'll get them. And God held back His hands and quit withstanding the heathen kings and kingdoms. And they marched on little Israel. Israel has no hope in all the world. And God sees them as four sharp horns. No talking about in the mezzanine, please. God sees them as four sharp horns. And God sees those horns coming from the south. On little Israel, and the north, on little Israel, and the west, on little Israel, and the east, on little Israel. And God says, she hasn't got a chance. I've got to punish her, but she has no chance. And God comes to sends four carpenters, and these carpenters dull these horns so that Israel will feel the brunt and will be bruised, but she'll not be destroyed. You're getting it from all sides, some of you. This week I've talked to many people. Seems like they're getting it from all sides. That's one place this term came from. Seems like it's just coming from all sides. Seems like everything is falling apart all at one time. And it seems like that we're just getting it deep, calls unto deep, and one trouble comes, another trouble comes, another trouble comes, another trouble comes, and you're getting it from all sides. That may be punishment. It may be that you sinned. It may be that God's going to punish you. But never you forget this, ladies and gentlemen. Our God, even when He punishes us, is a God of mercy and a God of love. And God's going to punish you. And you will hurt. But you will have the carpenter of Nazareth come to dull the blow so you will not be destroyed. You can take it. So hang in there. You are being punished with a Papaw's paddle. You're being spanked with a Grandpa's paddle. You're being pricked with a Grandpa's horn. God must paddle you. But God will use an enemy stronger than you are to come at you, but God will paralyze that enemy to His own, to God's own governor, and God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Look, you don't have to give up. You don't have to turn back. You don't have to quit. You can take it. I say it again and again. You can take it. You know, I wonder sometimes. I'm worried about the next generation. But I'm homesick. I just can't take it. Well, bless God, when I was your age, I was in the Army. I didn't go to my sergeant and say, Sarge, I think I'm going home. I would have gone home, my eternal home. I think I'm going home, Sarge. My barracks are not very nice. And I got some folks in my barracks that are not what they ought to be. I think I'll go home. But you know what? You know what America needs? America needs a war. I may just start one. I tell you what. I don't like the awful killing of war, but brother, we need something to toughen us up a little bit. God's people need to get tough. Lest I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, part of a spike thought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. This is a war. We're not in a ping-pong tournament. We're in a war. This is no Sunday school picnic. We're in a war. We're soldiers. This is a battle going on. In God's name, stand up and fight. Yellow-bedded cowards turning back on every side. College students want to save America and can't even make it through their freshman first semester. Young couples want to make it and can't even make it. They turn back. Why? Because they lost a job or can't find a job. Or because they got cockroaches in the house. And I simply say, somehow we ought to get tough enough to realize he that is with us is greater than he that is in the world. He will not suffer you to be tempted above thee you're able. You can take it. You can make it. He who is in you is the creator of the universe. God said about little Israel, smallest nation on the face of the earth, little defenseless Israel, sitting there with enemies on every side except due west, the Mediterranean Sea, and all these years, bless God, they've tried to push that little nation into the Mediterranean Sea, but they won't push. You know why? Because God has blunted the horns. That's why. God sends his carpenters, and God said, I'll let Arafat or Araskini or whoever else it is, I'll let him come and I'll let him hit my people, but I'll blunt his horn and he'll not push him in the Mediterranean Sea. Jordanian people, and I love the Jordanian people. And in many ways they're finer folks than Israel, but I'm saying, like it or not, the nation Israel is that burning bush that Moses saw in the wilderness when he was called of God, and God said, my people will not be destroyed, and hallelujah, I am one of the spiritual Israel. I have been grafted in, and I will not be destroyed. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm His. I belong to Him. He will not give me more than I can bear. He does not say, I will not hurt. He said, I can make it. He does not say, I will not suffer. He says, I can make it. He does not say, I will not pain. He says, I can make it. He does not say, I will not cry. He says, I'll make it. And he says the same thing to every person whose name is written in heaven, every blood-washed sin of God. He says the same thing. He said, I will not suffer you to tempt the above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Quit talking about, I can't make it anymore. Hush. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Maybe it's punishment. If it's punishment, you sit up and take it like a little man. And you realize that God Almighty has to punish you. The wages of sin is still death. The soul that sinneth shall still die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God's got to punish you. But bless God, when God uses a weapon to punish you, God sends the carpenter of Nazareth to whittle that little blunt instrument off. It'll hurt you, but he won't destroy you. His people are indestructible. Maybe it's testing. Maybe it's not because of punishment. Maybe God is testing you. Maybe God's going to see if you can take it to something bigger. I'll never forget. John Rice and I were sitting together in a motel restaurant in Johnson City, Tennessee. Dr. Rice all of a sudden started doing his fingers like that. That meant he was thinking. Every time Dr. Rice on the table started doing like that, he was thinking. He looked at me and he said, God's going to use Dr. Tom Malone in a greater way in the future than ever in the past. I said, Dr. Rice, why did you say that? Where'd that come from? He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, Tom Malone's going through the fire. He's never been through the fire like he's in right now. He's going through the fire. And he said, I guarantee you, Dr. Malone's going to be used of God in a greater way in the future. God may have something for you to do. God may want to see if you can take what you're enduring now so he can give you something big to do someday. I'll tell you something. There's nothing so overrated as fame. There's nothing so overrated as popularity. There's nothing so overrated as success. Because with that fame and with that popularity and with that success comes battle after battle after battle after battle. And brother, if you can't take the skirmishes, you won't make the battle. And God comes along and God says to you, I've got something big for you to do. I've got a bigger battle for you to fight, some bigger victories to win. But first I've got to see if you can take it. And God comes to you to test you. He wants to use you someday. Now you're going to be hurt. I want to warn you, you're going to be hurt. I want to warn you, you'll feel the bruise. I want to warn you, the tears are going to fall. I want to warn you, the pain's going to come. But I want to tell you something. You will be hurt. But just before that final blow hits you, here comes the carpenter of Nazareth. He comes and says, hold it! That's enough. He's learned his lesson. He takes his old chisel and chisels off the blunt, the sharp part of the horn and makes it dull. Maybe you have enemies today. And you will have enemies if you mount anything. And he'll hurt. Nobody ever has an enemy that doesn't hurt. And you'll feel the pain. But I want to tell you something. Here comes the old carpenter of Nazareth. The old carpenter comes and he chisels off the blunt. And you can take it. Hang in there, tempted one. Hang in there, tested one. Hang in there, one with an enemy or enemies. Hang in there. The carpenter of Nazareth says, I will not let you be tempted or tested above that you're able. And will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. It may be not an enemy or testing or temptation. It may be a temptation. It may be great. But you don't have to stumble. God may want to, He may want to see if you can make it. God comes along and sends you a temptation. But God, hear me now, God will never send you a temptation to which you have to succumb. Well, I just can't say no. Oh, yes, you can. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But I just can't resist. Oh, yes, you can. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'm bound by it. Oh, no, you're not. If your name is written in heaven, God is your Father, and the carpenter of Nazareth comes to dull the blood. The point of that blunt, and you can resist. Well, but how's that? Young men come to me, I'm just oversexed. You're not any more sexed than you're able to resist the temptation. Well, how's that? Just, by nature, I have a hot temper. First place, you don't have any hotter temper than anybody else has by nature. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. The honest, simple truth, you don't have to lose your temper. You don't have to yield to illicit sex. You don't have to yield to the lover's lane. You don't have to yield to doing that which is wrong. You don't have to say words you shouldn't say. You don't have to use vulgar curse words. You don't have to. Why? Because the carpenter of Nazareth says there will never come an enemy. Whether it's an enemy personally, whether it's an enemy by temptation, there'll never be one single enemy that comes your way. But what the carpenter of Nazareth will come and blunt his horn so you will not be destroyed. You'll be wounded but not defeated. You'll be hurt but not destroyed. You'll be cast down but not totally. You'll be knocked down but not knocked out. You'll be pinned but pressed but not pinned. You'll fall behind but you can finish the race. I am so sick and tired of this modern day weak need peacetime army Christianity. Brother, we're in a battle. We're in a battle against the most humanistic society outside Soviet Russia the world's ever seen. We're in a battle against the abortion crowd. We're in a battle against the pornographic literature crowd. We're in a battle against the liberal crowd. We're in a battle against the National Council of Churches with their liberalism and their doubts about the Word of God. We're in a battle! But blessed be God, that one that came into me when I received Christ as my Savior, even the Holy Spirit of God, He is better than he that is in the world. Plain old smutty face himself. Buddy, I got something inside me bigger than he is. You can take it. But how it hurts. Always hurts a soldier. Always hurts. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I said, you can take it. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I said, you can make it. Maybe it's not punishment. Maybe it's not testing. Maybe it's not an enemy. Maybe it's not temptation. Maybe it's suffering. Just plain old suffering. I was in four churches not long ago in a row. Church number one. Pastor talked to me personally and said, Dr. Hiles, I've got a married daughter that's broken our hearts. My wife and I, absolutely, our hearts are broken. Next week, church number two. Pastor said, can I talk to you personally, privately? I said, yes. He said, Dr. Hiles, we have a grown daughter. You don't know this. Hardly anybody knows about it outside our church. We have a grown daughter that's broken our hearts. Would you pray for her? Church number three, next week. Pastor said, Brother Hiles, get my wife and I talk with you. Yes, for me. He said, Brother Hiles, when they talked to me, he said, Brother Hiles said, our hearts are broken. They have a grown daughter that's broken our hearts. Church number four. Pastor said, Brother Hiles, can I drive you back to your room after the service Tuesday night? I said, yes, you may. We drove back. He said, Dr. Hiles, I feel I have confidence in your prayers. Would you pray for our grown daughter? We have a grown daughter. She's breaking our hearts. You folks that have little children, it's mighty easy for you to be Pharisees now. It's mighty easy now for you to say, be Pharisees and have all utopian, but I'm simply saying, four straight preachers. And all four of them said to me the same thing. Should I keep on preaching? Why, I said, should you keep on preaching? Of course you should keep on preaching. Brother Hiles, we don't sometimes feel like we can't take it anymore. In all four cases, I told them about Papaw's title. I told them about our loving God who sees our suffering and feels our hurt. And our God comes and He gives us the anesthesia of a carpenter of Nazareth who comes with His chisel and chisels off the horn. I'm not saying your pain will not hurt. I'm not saying your suffering will not cause you to weep at night. I'm not saying that. Many of us wake up at night and we have one thing we think about every time we turn over in bed at night that comes across our mind. You have it and sometimes I have it. But I'm simply saying, I'm not saying you won't hurt, but blessed be God, the more you hurt, the more the comfort of Nazareth comes and His comforts you and strengthens you and says, you can take it and you can make it. Let's do our hair when we get home. What do you say? I went to the office recently. I may have had the hardest day, and I don't have hard days. All my days are good. It may have been the less good day I'd had for a while. But I went to the office one night, and probably it was the least good day I'd had in a long time. And I saw a horn, sharp horn, coming toward me. And I flinched and pulled back. And I thought, that one's sure going to hurt when it hits. I sat down and looked at my watch. It was time for the first appointment. I opened the door. A couple came in. Had a little afflicted boy. 5 years old or so. The eyes had that look of affliction in them. Unable to be controlled. Little mother said, it's that way at home all the time. I sat there and hurt for that little boy. And I hurt for those dear parents. They left. Someone else came in. A little woman came in. Her husband's in the penitentiary. She has a little child over here. And I tried to be a father to her, a help to her. We talked for a while, and my heart ached as she went her way after I'd counseled with her for a while. The pain and the suffering of life And then a couple came in, and they were being evicted from their apartment. Utilities already turned off. No money to pay any rent. Several little children. And I try to help. I really do. But there's a limit to any of our financial ability. And they walked out. And I died with them. And in every case, I try to explain to them, you can make it. You can make it. He will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above it. You're able. But also with the temptation, make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And then a man came in facing bankruptcy. No way financially he can untangle his problems and his burdens financially. And then a lady came in with terminal cancer. Little family to rear. Can't live long unless a miracle takes place. And I left the office. My heart broke for that little lady whose husband is in the penitentiary. My heart broke for that couple with an afflicted boy. Because I remembered my mother and she used to tell me about her afflicted daughter. My heart broke because of that little lady with children to rear that has terminal cancer. I left the office to go get in the car. And I said, where's my horn? It was on its way a while ago. I had a tough day today. Where's my horn? You know what? I found it had been blunted. The carpenter of Nazareth had come. He loves you this morning. Oh, he loves you. Had a man say to me last night, he said, Brother Howells, I've never learned so much about the love of God in my life as I've learned since I've been here in your church and hearing you preach. I hope I can over and over again remind you how much he loves you. He loves you so much that when you do wrong, he has to punish you. He loves you so much he sometimes has to use evil instruments and allow them to do it. But he loves you so much he'll take the chisel of his love and chisel off the point of the horn. And so, though you must be punished, he'll not allow you to be punished above that you're able. He loves you so much he's got to prepare you for the battle. You young people have lives to live. You've got battles to fight. He's got to prepare you for it. That's why sometimes when you're in college, that's why sometimes things happen. And you say, preacher, why does everybody else, why does somebody else have it so easy? I'll tell you why. God's not going to use them like he's going to use you. God put you in the testing. But God loves you so much, as he sees you being tested, he comes with the carpenter's chisel and he chisels off your horn, so you'll feel the blunt and you'll hurt, but you'll not be destroyed because of the love of Almighty God. He comes to those this morning who have some enemy, and that enemy is doing all he can to hurt you. He comes and he says, I'll not keep that enemy from coming, because as was the case in David, in Shimei, David said, maybe I need what he has to offer. Maybe he's a messenger sent from God, the use of God, though what he's doing is wicked and vile. God said, I'll not take him away, but I'll brought the instrument, I'll brought the horn, so you can take it. He comes this morning, maybe you're facing some temptation. Maybe you're tempted to do what you ought not to do, and that temptation is bombarding you and bombarding you and bombarding you. And you say, I don't know how I can take it. I don't know how I can resist it any longer. I can't have the victory. The carpenter of Nazareth comes with his chisel, chisels off your horn and says, it's going to be hard to say no, but you can have the victory. And maybe this morning the suffering is heavy, and maybe it's worse than it's ever been in your life. Oh, I live with suffering. I've said so often, one of the marvels and miracles of my ministry is how I'm happy all the time. How I cut up so much and enjoy life so much. Because I live with the weeping and the brokenhearted and the broken dreams and aspirations and air castles and broken lives of thousands of people all the time. People hound me like a dog would hound an animal, trying to track me down everywhere I go. Tomorrow I'll be going to the state of New York. I guarantee you right now, there are people planning trips tomorrow to where I'm going to be. I guarantee you before I've been in my motel room very long, I'll have a letter or a note or a phone call, and somebody will say, "Dr. Hiles, I've come 200 miles to see you. I've got to have you. I've got to talk with you. I've got a burden. I've got a problem." If I'm here, it's that way. I run to have any privacy and try to get away sometimes, just have a little time to think, because of the burdens and the heartaches and the problems, and I hit the road and they're there. The day I finally got the airplane, and I said, "Bless God, I can have some time without having to listen to all the problems of people and the burdens of people and the heartaches of people. I'm just going to sit here and read the USA Today newspaper." I picked up the newspaper and began to read it, and somebody walked up to me and said, "Are you Dr. Jack Hiles?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And then I grinned, and I said, "Yes, I am. What is your problem?" And she said, "For the house, my husband and I have been fans of yours for years. We're facing the hardest thing that our lives ever faced. God just put you on this airplane." The devil put me on that airplane. "I've got to talk to you." And I sat down and talked to her. But I mean, it's that way all the time. Why? Because this is the veil of tears down here. I don't know what your problem is, but you have one. You know what mine is, but I have one. I don't know what your burden is, but you have one. You don't know what mine is, but I have one. I do not know what the horns are coming your way today. I do not know. But I'll guarantee you this. There are far too many pity parties going on in our hearts and our lives. Far too many. Brother, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. That's God's book. In this body and in your body dwells God's Holy Spirit. Jesus, the King of Kings, is your Savior. The Creator of the universe is your Father. He's in control. Whenever you have a burden or a heartache, don't forget these four horns coming at you from all directions. It's coming at me from every way, every direction. Hitting me. I know. But He is watching. And before those horns get to you, and before they pierce you and prick you and destroy you, here comes the carpenter of Nazareth with his heavenly chisel to chisel off the point. So you will be hurt, and you will hurt, and you will suffer, and you will cry. But you will not be destroyed. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Get up in the morning, beloved one, being hit from all sides, and say, "Lord, let me make it today. Let me make it today." And He will. And then tomorrow, you wake up and the first thing you say is, "Let me make it today." And He will. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness." Sing it. "All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." The carpenter's coming. You hurt this morning? Carpenter's on his way. You pain this morning? Carpenter's on his way. The tears flow like fountains of waters? The carpenter's on his way. He will not suffer you to be attacked more than the resistance He'll give you to resist the attack. He will not let you suffer a pain that you cannot bear. He will not let you have an enemy that can defeat you. He will not allow you to be tested or tempted above that He will give you the strength to overcome that temptation. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Say it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Change it to me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Point to yourself. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. That's why He could say, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But nobody conquers until he fights. And nobody wins until he's had a battle. So you'll never be a conqueror until you've had a battle. Let us pray.